Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we want to face the issues. As we face the issues, we must recognize that there's a source for each of us to go to for an answer, direction, for wisdom and insight as we face the issues. As we face the issues of life, there's one source, and that is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the Bible. Jesus said, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about finding truth, the only source book for truth is the Word of God. May I remind us that this is a listener participation program. You can participate simply by picking up your telephone, dialing 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. You can jump in at any point of our discussion today. You can ask a question that's relative to the subject on hand, or you can ask your own question, and let's take the course of discussion in a different direction. That's left up to you, our listener. The program is designed to not just entertain, that's not the purpose of it, but to educate, to inform, to challenge, to inspire, and hopefully motivate us to be salt and light as God would have us to be. May I remind us once again that we would love to have you to visit with us at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 1 mile south of I-295. Our service is every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. 9:30 on Sunday morning is the Bible study hour, Sunday school hour. 10:45 is the Sunday morning worship. Sunday evening worship is at 7 o'clock. And then each Wednesday, we have a special midweek service where it is designed similar to what we do by way of radio. It is a Bible question and answer time and or a Bible study with a text and a subject to study. And then we have our fellowship meal and a time of singing and prayer. We'd love to have you, our listener, our guest by way of radio, to be our guest in the sanctuary worshiping with us on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday evening. May I remind us that when you call in, you can disagree. That's your prerogative. You may have a totally different viewpoint of that which I will be espousing. You're perfectly free to do so. We will maybe disagree, but we're not going to be disagreeable. So let me encourage you to call 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Boy, do we have news that's kind of phenomenal in the past several days. And when I talk about news, I'm talking about the devastating, deplorable news as relates to our nation and what's taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe I've ever in my lifetime, and as I jokingly say, I'm less than 100 years old, I don't believe I've ever in my lifetime witnessed the demoralization, the declension in morals and ethics and values in our nation any more than we're seeing today. And now, that's bad enough. It seems that everything that the Christian does and the church does, that we as moral, ethical, believing people endeavor to do, there's an attack on every hand in relationship to biblical truth and our opportunity to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But may I remind us, if we're going to be salt and light, we need to get out of the shaker, we need to get out of the closet, and be the salt and light to impact society. We have that responsibility. For too many years, pastors have warned the church members that we just need to talk about Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, that's what we ought to do. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus talked about himself, but he confronted evil. He confronted sin. He confronted the wickedness of the Pharisees. He confronted the detractors and the false, phony, make-believe religious leaders of his day and dealt with the issues. And therefore, when we look at things from a biblical worldview, there are issues that we must deal with. And some of these issues are not necessarily neat and tidy with a little ribbon around them and has a little smiley face on it. The issues that we're faced with in society today are far more grave, far more difficult, with far-reaching implications. Some of those being the news articles that we had over the past weekend. And we're going to talk today about the dangers of Islam and the demonic book called the Quran. The dangers of Islam and the demonic book called the Quran. Can you believe the news? Let's just review some of the news headline stories, and then we'll go back and look at some of these stories that have taken place just in the past 2 or 3 days. Terrorist attack New York, 2 different places, bombs exploding. Terrorist attack New Jersey, 1 place, a bomb explosion. A terrorist attack in Minnesota, slicing people with a butcher knife. A terrorist attack in Canada, using a machete in a mall. Terrorist attack in New York outside a synagogue, a jihadist with a meat cleaver. May I remind us, we are in trouble as a nation. We have had the Trojan horse brought into our borders by our wonderful leadership in Washington. It's not just Barack Obama, but may I suggest that it is his at his behest that we see these things taking place. Let me just read you a headline. Department of Homeland Security granted citizenship to hundreds of illegal immigrants that should have been deported. A little synopsis of the article. Hundreds of illegal aliens from terrorist hotbeds who were supposed to have been deported were instead granted citizenship because Homeland Security didn't even have fingerprints on file to check their identities at all. The Department Inspector General said in a stunning report today, that's Monday, at least 2 of these approved are now being investigated by the FBI for terrorism. More than 800 cases, wasn't a matter of just a half a dozen or a dozen, but more than 800 cases identified by the inspector of that department. And yet Obama would have you to believe and would have me to believe that they are vetting all of these illegal aliens coming into America. I understand that it's not politically correct to call them illegal aliens today. They are simply our guests coming in without invitation. They are refugees coming in as a result of this administration and his desire to undermine and tear down and destroy America. You can't call it anything else. Now, you can disagree with that statement if you want to, but I can point to you thousands and thousands and thousands of articles over the past 8 years that will validate my de facto statement in that realm. When the Department of Homeland Security has already given, it wasn't a matter of them making application for citizenship. It wasn't a matter of waiting for citizenship. It wasn't a matter of going through the process for citizenship, filling out documentation, and paying the fees. They were simply summarily granted citizenship simply because they were here. They had crossed the borders. We had no way of getting any identification on them. No fingerprints, no files, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you do? You certainly don't deport them in this administration. You just make them citizens. And by the way, some of those same citizens will be voting November the 8th. Some of those same citizens will be casting a ballot for a socialistic, future tense, communistic society that we're seeing envelop all of America today. May I remind us, here are some of the headlines. Minnesota, I'm reading directly from the newsprint headlines, the news articles. Muslim stabs 8 in a mall, made reference to Allah, and asked potential victims if they were Muslim. And yet you have the liberal, lopsided, drive-by media that says we can't prove that any of these were jihadist. We can't say that they were doing something because they might have just been a lone wolf. They're not linked with a program of hate for the Western world based on the Quran. We'll get to that, by the way, in a moment, looking at what their Quran says, realizing why these people do what they do. Another headline, Muslim who slashed New York cop with a meat cleaver was deemed, listen, quote, not to be a terrorist threat, end quote, after screaming, quote, Allah Akbar, outside of a synagogue in New York. She screamed Allah Akbar, which is a praise to Allah for what you're about to do. Don't tell me that it's not a terrorist threat. Don't tell me that it's not born out of the very heartbeat of Islamic terrorism. The third headline and brief statement. New Jersey, military race cancel after a pipe bomb explodes and another bomb is found. New York City, headline, New York City, IED explosion wounds 29. Quote, Muslims cheer on Twitter, end quote. And by the way, in New York, what I simply have called Comrade de Blasio says these attacks, these bombs going off with 29 injured. Quote, this is what de Blasio says. It's intentional, but we can't set terrorism, end quote. Headline, Canada, machete attack on cop in Calgary Mall. Shots fired in the Grand Prairie Mall. And the headlines go on and on and on. May I remind us, the folks that are called CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, are worried about, according to a headline, they're worried about backlash after the Minnesota Mall jihad had taken place. And the governor in Minnesota calls for there to be, what is he calling it? Religious tolerance, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can jump in this discussion and ask your questions or join into the discussion and redirect it if you like. You can do so by calling 401-1413, 401-1413. Yes, sir. Governor Dayton of Minnesota, he says, and I quote, I'm looking at the headlines. The Minnesota Governor Dayton says, quote, if you don't like the immigrants from Somalia, get out of Minnesota. The little article starts further. I said a little article. It's about 10 pages, but I'll just give you the little skinny, as I call it. Early this week in St. Cloud, New Mexico, Minnesota, the Democrat governor of the state, Mark Drayton, made it pretty clear to those who have been questioning the mass importation of Somalia refugees to the state. Too bad for you. Find another place to live, end quote. Isn't that welcoming for a governor? How would you like the governor of the state of Florida to say that? How would you like the governor of any other state to make that statement to its citizens? That if you don't like the jihadists, if you don't like what they're doing to us, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like who they are and what they stand for, just find you another place to live. May I remind us, these Somalia refugees now are basically overtaking some parts of Minnesota. There's a major, major, major problem with what we find taking place. And when it comes back to CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations are concerned about a backlash. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, is about the most wicked, vile, demonic, devilish thing that could take place in America. They are, if you please, embedding and allowing and, if you please, motivating this whole thing that's taking place that we're talking about today with the Islamic jihadists and what they're doing and their goals for America. Perhaps you know this and perhaps you don't. On page 36 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? About 325 pages, 25 chapters. And I recommend the book to you, not because I had the privilege of publishing it, writing it, but there's 25 chapters. You can go to each chapter, and it's an isolated study. Islam in Allah, Islam in the Quran, Islam in abrogation, Islam in the Holy Bible, Islam in deception, Islam in Muhammad the sinner, Islam in Jesus, Islam in the crucifixion, Islam in salvation, Islam in the Trinity, Islam in hell, Islam in the Jews, Islam in the sword, Islam in polygamy, Islam in human rights, Islam in jihad, etc., etc. But on page 36, a subtitle here, The Quran and the Pentagon. You may be aware of it and you may not be, but may I remind us, in September the 27th of 2006, the Pentagon had been tasked with their intelligence analyst to pinpoint what was the driving force after the Muslims had done the unthinkable in 2001 with 9/11. Their findings, I'm reading right from the page 36 in the book, Is Islam Tolerant? I'm reading right from the article that I'd used to make this portion of the book relevant. We're talking about now the Pentagon's research, the analyst in determination of what drove the Muslims to do what they did in 9/11. Their findings is politically explosive. It's their holy book, end quote, the Quran. The Pentagon's intelligence analyst researched the conclusion that Muslim suicide bombers are, in fact, students of the Quran, who are motivated to violence by the teachings of the Quran. In Islam, it is not how one lives one's life that guarantees spiritual salvation, but how one dies, according to the Pentagon intelligence briefings report. Now, that's been buried under layer after layer after layer of political correctism in Washington today, because most of the politics and the political insiders in Washington would not want you to know that that's the findings of the Pentagon based on their analysis of what caused 9/11. It's the book. And the Pentagon said, because of their holy book, and may I remind us, there's nothing holy about it. Out of some 3,000 surahs, you can spell that S-U-R-A or S-U-R-A-H, either one is correct, just like you can spell the Quran with a K or with a Q, both are correct. But out of the 3,000 surahs, 87% of them, 87% is an ideology, a way of life, if you would call it simply a war book, with about 13% of it having anything to do with a religion, and it's a wicked religion, to say the very least. Mike, I believe you're on the line with a question. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, thank you for letting me come on. I just have one simple question, and just to give you my context, I'm a preacher here in town, pastor of a church, and been listening to your talk for a few minutes now, and just, you're a preacher of the gospel also.
Correct.
Yes, and you believe we have a glorious gospel, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the redemption that Christ offers is beyond our ability to ever get to the end of it.
That is correct.
Okay. Question to you, and I want to be kind in asking it, because I hear this kind of station and talk from, you know, Christians and Christian stations a lot. And I'm aware of the issues in our culture, and I'm sure they need to be addressed.
But go ahead with your question.
Like, yeah, I would just like to hear more about the gospel and stay centered on the miraculous, beautiful message that we have of redemption for mankind. I think sometimes we as believers spin our wheels by spending too much time focusing on the culture. And again, it needs to be addressed. I understand. I get all that. But
all right, well, let me ask you a question, Mike. I appreciate your call, but for the sake of time, let me cut through the chase. You're saying that what you disagree with is the approach of facing the issues with reality and confronting the issues as Christians ought to, with salt and light. You're saying that there's something wrong with that, as I understand your question. I want to ask you a question. When Jesus said to the Pharisees, whoa, 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 and he called them hypocrites, whited sepulchers, did he say, well, I'm just going to tell you about Jesus and I'm not going to confront the issues? When Jesus walked into the temple and cleaned it out with a bullwhip and challenged them and turned the money table, changers' tables over, did he say, listen, I want to tell you guys about Jesus and I'm not going to confront the issues? He confronted the issues with the reality of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things, and I say this, my dear brother, with all the love and concern, one of the problems in America today is that we have spineless pastors that won't stand in the pulpit and warn the people of the dangers. Recently, in the 2012 election, we had a dear pastor stood in the pulpit and told 2,000 people that we had a Muslim running for office and we had a Mormon running for office, and that both were lost, and he couldn't recommend we vote for either one. Therefore, we have Barack Hussein Obama in office today. For 50 years, pastors have failed to be the shepherd of the flock and to be the watchman on the wall, warning of the dangers and the wolves that are coming and what's taking place. Yes, sir, the gospel is real. Yes, sir, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, it is a wonderful treasure and that we ought to share the good news of the gospel. You do that by preaching the scripture verse by verse, and when verse by verse, whether in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the minor prophets, or the gospels, you tell the people what this says and how it applies to culture today and how we ought to confront culture with the reality and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that that is a answer that you can live with. I pray that it's an answer that, though you may not appreciate it, that is truth from a biblical worldview. And I pray that we have more preachers that are standing in the pulpit and confront evil and wickedness with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's 13 times more said in the four gospels about the judgment of God and the justice of God than is said about the love of God. And yet there's the mindset somehow among Christians that all we're to talk about is the love of Jesus and not talk about the judgment and the justice and the wrath of God to come unless we do something in the world and the society in which we're living in today. But I appreciate your call, Mike. Thank you so much, and I pray that you'll have a blessed day and take into consideration some of the things that I have said in a hurried fashion because of time. May I make a brief transition? Notwithstanding all the terrorist attacks, Obama has declared war on religion. And I suppose there's some preachers that will think you ought not to even say this. There is a war on religion. And may I remind us that has taken place as a result of so many being silent today. In fact, this is right out of Liberty Counsel's newsletter. A newly released report by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights attacks religious freedom and declares that religious liberty must be subordinated to civil rights laws. The report is a declaration of war against religious freedom. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights reports peaceful coexistence, reconciling non-discrimination principles with civil liberties, is a shocking example of the war against religious freedom in America. The recently released commission's report is a shameful anti-American and anti-God document that trashes religious freedom. And it goes on to talk about who's involved in that and what they're saying. And the bottom line is, they're saying that the Christians are people that are intolerant, they are supremacists, they are racist, they have sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, and therefore they must yield to the LGBT non-discrimination laws. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm simply saying that I have lived long enough, I've seen enough, and I am absolutely wise enough based on the authority of the Word of God to say, unless we stand up, speak up, and do something now, as Christians, we will lose our religious liberties because we're not confronting the evil, wicked society in which we live in today. Yes, we need to tell people that there's a way that they can go that is the right way. That's the Jesus way, saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. The only way to avoid hell and to gain heaven is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And that is the end truth of the gospel. That is the declaration of the truth of the gospel. That is the wonderful good news of the gospel. But just saying you need to get saved and telling people that every Sunday is not sufficient if you're preaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Word of God. Especially if you get into the 12 minor prophets and you preach them what God was saying then and take the application forward to the 21st century. You can't just talk about the mamsy-pamsy love of Jesus without talking about the wickedness and the evil in the world and the need to say something to warn the people in the pew about that. So what should America do in response to the Islamic terrorism? Obama plans to bring in another 110,000 refugees, most of them from Syria and the other Islamic hotbeds around the world. So what are we supposed to do? Hillary says that she believes that the Islamic religion is not dangerous. She denies that Islam is dangerous and will continue the Obama programs. What does Trump say? Trump is the only sane voice in the wilderness of hope today. Trump calls for, and I quote, confronting the cancer from within America, end quote. He wants to deport illegal criminals and tighten up the immigration process and use what he says is extreme vetting. If we don't do that, we're going to lose America. Where are the watchmen on the wall, dear pastors, warning Christians, warning the nation that we need to be the watchmen on the wall, warning us of the dangers to come and the dissipation of the American way of life and the destruction of religious liberties and freedom of Christianity today? So are we fearful for no reason? Should America be concerned of what is happening? The Minnesota Mall jihadist had said, and one of the things that had been discovered about him, he said his favorite book was the Quran. So what does the Quran really say? What does the Quran say about jihad and about terrorism? What is it about Islam? Is it peaceful? Well, in Surah, that is the term that's used in the Quran, Surah 3151, we shall cast terror in the hearts of those disbelievers, non-Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see them doing. That's what they've done in Minnesota. That's what they've done in New Jersey. That's what they've done in Calgary, Canada. That's what they've done in New York City. That's what they're doing around the globe. They're trying to cast fear in the hearts of all non-Muslims. Surah 2:191, and kill them, non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of all non-Muslims. Surah 2:193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2:216, jihad, that is holy fighting, holy war, in Allah's cause, is ordained for all Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read and read and read. I'm sitting here with my Quran. I'm sitting here reading you right from their demonic book that they refer to as their holy book. I'm reading from the book that the Pentagon says was the source cause of 9/11, was that the Muslims believed their holy book, that is the Quran. Surah 4:56, those who disbelieve, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 4:101, the non-Muslims are ever unto you an open enemy. Surah 4:102, Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 8:39, fight all non-believers, that is non-Muslims, until there's no more disbelief in them. May I remind us, we find also in Surah 9:5, kill the disbelievers. Wherever you find them, capture them, besiege them, lie in wait for them, each and every ambush. Surah 9:14, fight against all non-Muslims so that Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give victory over them. Surah 9:29, fight against those who believe not in Allah and those Jews and Christians who acknowledge not the religion of Islam. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the Surah 9:5 is probably the most poignant one. It says, kill all non-Muslims, the pagans, wherever you find them. We need to understand that, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But may I remind us, there's far more than that if we're going to be salt and light, getting out of the shaker and out of the closet and into the world, permeating society with the biblical worldview of the totality of the Word of God. I pray that you've been challenged, enlightened, encouraged, and directed today as we've had this Let's Face the Issues, looking to join you again tomorrow at the same time.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality? Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.